Yes.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. How are you guys?
Aloha.
Aloha, yes. I was watching those kids back there. One of the verses is how one ought to conduct themselves in the house of God. And I was looking at them and they were going, I mean, that's just the way you do it. It's just life, right? It just kind of takes over and kids are kids. And so Tom was telling me that there's a couple prayer requests. One is you, Michelle. I guess you're going back in for surgery tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow, and I found out again on February 3rd. So I have a stent being replaced tomorrow, two stones being removed, but they're going to put a new stent in, and then that has to come out on February 3rd. And then I'm done.
Praise God.
God is good. He's the great physician. Well, let's pray for that. And I know there's Cody. Cody's not here right now, but he's going in, I think, tomorrow. So Heavenly Father, you are the great physician, and it says in the Psalms that you know those words before we even speak them. And you know the thoughts before we think them. You know our needs, and you say we have not because we ask not, Lord. So we are asking for Michelle. We ask that the doctors would have plenty of rest, that they would be very thoughtful in this surgery. They would have steady hands, and they would do what is needed to be done with her, and she would recover quickly. And that second surgery also, Lord, that you would heal her, and you would give her peace about this and her whole family. And Lord, we lift up Cody too. And I know that he is struggling with how this back surgery is going to turn out. And Lord, we ask that you would heal him and draw him to you. And we pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we are in 1 Timothy. I wanted to back up. We're in 1 Timothy 4, but I wanted to back up into the last couple verses of chapter 3. Am I fading in and out? No? Okay. I am in my head. Pardon me? What? There's a psalm. I'll just read it to you. But I really love it. I love the psalms. This is Psalm 119. It says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your word. For I am a sojourner or an alien in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And Lord, we just ask that. I want to hear from your word, Lord. I want to hear from you. I want to see those things that you have for us so we know how to walk in this world. And I just pray that through my preaching today that you would bring those out in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says in the last part of John, and I just wanted to say this, that there are so many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written, every one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that they were written. Can you imagine that? All the things that he's done, all the things that he's still doing right now. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And there's a list of things that Paul gives us, of six things in that last verse. And just before that, verse 15, it says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. And then there's a list of six things, and I wanted to go through them. It's, the first one is, he who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. And so that first one is, he who was revealed in the flesh. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Son of God who came to this earth, and he was revealed in the flesh. He was born. We just celebrated Christmas, right? And that was a celebration of his birth. His name was called Emmanuel, which is God with us. In John 1:14, let me turn there real quick. John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, the Word which was made flesh and dwelt among us, and was beheld, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, number one, he was revealed in the flesh. Number two, he was vindicated in the Spirit. And in John 1, verse 32 and 34 through 34, it says, and this is again, this is John the Baptist speaking. John the Apostle wrote this book. It says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and I bore witness that this is the Son of God. So he was vindicated by the Spirit. It says he was seen by angels. And if you remember, and again, we just had Christmas, and the angels declared to the disciples, or to the shepherds, that this was God's Son, right? They saw him there. They saw him during his temptation. Remember, he was taken out into the wilderness and he was tempted. And it says that the angels came to him and refreshed him. You remember that? Okay, that's good. Thank you for saying that. And so when he was in the garden praying, and it says he sweated like great drops of blood, and it says the angels again refreshed him. At his grave, remember the angels declared to those that came, why are you coming and looking for him? He's risen, right? And the angels were there. And at his ascension, when he ascended up into the heavens, it says there was two angels there, and he says, why are you looking up? He's going to return to you in the same kind of way. So it says, seen by angels was the third point. I'm sure there was many, many more times where he was seen by angels. It says, proclaimed among the nations. And in some versions, it might say the Gentiles. But the nations are the Gentiles. Typically in the Bible, there's two groups of people. There's the Jews and all the rest. And all the rest are the nations. All the rest are the Gentiles. And I wanted to look at that a little bit. If you want, you can flip to Matthew 15:21 through 28. And just as a reminder. And if not, I'll read it to you. It says, and Jesus went out from there and departed into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman from Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered not a word to her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So what he's saying here, excuse me, is that he was sent. His purpose for coming was to speak to the Jews, to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his purpose of coming. He came as a Messiah. And it says he came to his own, and his own received him not. This goes on to say in verse 25, then she came and she worshiped him. And I like the way it says that she worshiped him. You know, we just sang some songs. We worshiped the Lord. We honored him out of our heart. The way she worshiped him was she said, Lord, help me. And maybe that's not clear in all your versions, but it's just so simple. It's understanding who it is that is there to help us. Understanding who Jesus was is worshiping him. But he said, in verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And the Gentiles were called dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desired." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And she says, "I'm recognized and I'm a dog. But whatever's left over, I want even that. If you've got just a scrap, I want that." But my point in reading this was, it says he was proclaimed unto the nations. Here he says what his purpose was to come to his people, and they refused him. So that gospel went out, and I wanted to look at that. If you flip to Acts 10, and if you remember, after the Lord rose, they went into Jerusalem and they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they and Peter stood up and he preached the gospel, and it says 3,000 were saved at that point. Those people that heard that gospel at that point were the Jews. And primarily that gospel was only going out to the Jews. And if you remember, a guy named Saul, whose later his name was Paul, he persecuted the church. And who he was persecuting was his own people, the Jews that had become Christians. And Jesus spoke to him and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he was persecuting his people, but the Lord took it as, "I am part of these guys." Well, later on after that, and that's that story we're going to look at right here, was the gospel went out to the Gentiles. I don't know if there's Jewish people here, but I praise God that the gospel went out to me, right? That I heard it, that we heard it, you know? And so here it is in chapter 10, Acts 10. It says that, "Now there was a man of Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian band." I don't know, some might not say that so much, but here's the Italian band. Our worship team is mostly Italian, right? So these guys were not Jews. They were Italian, right? "A devoted man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision of angels of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius." And I'm not going to read this whole chapter, even though it's a great chapter. You should take it home and read it. It's just a fun chapter, what happens here. But he has this discord with this angel, and the angel is telling him what to do and how to get in touch with Simon. It was before, you know, cell phones and, you know, all that. And he said, "Send these guys to Simon's house." Or Peter's house, Simon Peter. And then in verse 9, it says, "On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city," these are Cornelius's guys, "Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, but he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while he was making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky open. There was an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures on the earth, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean.' Again a voice came to him the second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had just seen be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate." So what happened was, there was like this upside down parachute coming down with all these animals in it, unclean animals to the Jewish people, right? And Peter was saying, "I've never had anything unclean." And the Lord is saying, "Kill and eat." And Peter is famous for always saying, "Lord, I got a better idea." All the time he always says that. And I don't, you know, we got that too. I know I have my opinions, but that was what was going on between the Lord and Peter while these guys were coming to his house. And it's it it says in verse 17, and I love the way there's multiple things happening at the same time. On the one hand, there's Cornelius praying and asking for direction from God. And on the other hand, God is doing something with Peter and giving him some kind of direction. He's getting Peter ready to step outside of the experience that he has known about. And at the same time, he's bringing this guy to his house, and they meet. And we call that coincidence, but you know, many times we don't believe in coincidence. Many times that's the hand of God directing our life. And if you're here today hearing the word, God bless you, because it was God who brought you here. It wasn't coincidence. So verse 20, I know I'm going to jump a little bit, but I like what it says. Let me see if I can find it in the King James, because I like it better, and I'm reading off something else. It says, "Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing." And I like that, doubting nothing. You know, because we do have our concepts, right? We think about things should be like this. And what God is telling him, there's a thing going to happen here, and don't doubt about it. So if you jump down into, I'm just going to do it, verse 26. I shouldn't do this, but bear with me. It says, verse 25. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and he fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up and said, "Stand up, I'm just a man too." And God bless the Catholic Church, right? I know that there's dear believers in the church, and they you know, kind of think that Peter was the first pope and stuff. But Peter clearly is saying, you know, "I'm just a guy. I'm just a man. Don't bow down to me." There's a statue of Peter in Rome that the toe has been kissed off, worn away by kissing, by lips. I can't even conceive of that. But what he's saying is, "I'm just a man. I'm here to deliver a message to you. I, Craig Jones, today am just a man. I'm nobody. I'm just reading the word, and that's what God asked me to do." Verse 28, it says to them, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is Jewish to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean." He just showed him that with that parachute, right? That upside down thing. And he was getting Peter ready to think in these terms. Verse 29, "And that is why I came without even raising an objection when I was sent for. So I asked, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' Cornelius said," and then he rehearses the story of what had happened with him and the angels. He says, "4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in a shining garment. And he said to Cornelius, and he said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea.'" I like that. It says your prayers have been heard. You know, we pray and we go, "Yeah, God wasn't even paying attention because he was, you know, thinking about somebody else that was more deserving of my prayers." But God hears our prayers. You know, this guy Cornelius, in our terms today, he didn't know the Lord. He wasn't saved. God, the Spirit wasn't in him, but he was praying. And I remember the first time I was... I got into a lot of Eastern religions and, you know, a lot of drugs during that time, looking for the truth, what it was. And I remember the couple weeks before I got saved, I was following this fat little 13-year-old guru kind of guy who said he was God. It turned out that he really wasn't God, and he kind of ripped off that whole thing. It was Divine Light Mission. But I was coming out of the door, and there was two of his Mahatmas, his elder kind of guys, sitting there. And these two Christians happened to come up on the porch, and they were talking to him. And when I was walking out the door, I overheard this conversation where the Christians were saying, we're not of the same spirit as you. And the Muhammads are going, everybody's of the same spirit, you know. And they were going kind of back and forth. And I went out to my car and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't care who you are, whether you're LSD or trees or this fat little kid in here or whatever, I want to know you. And I believe that was the spirit that Cornelius was saying, praying this. And when those angels came to him, they said, your prayer's heard. And what he did was he directed somebody into their life. And that was Peter. So in verse 33, he says, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I will certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, and here, you know, how I got here was he's preached on to the nations, right? It says, but to every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Christ Jesus, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting in Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. John, when he baptized Jesus, that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right? He was saying to this guy of the Italian band that, you know this thing. You know this thing? Everybody knew the thing, right? This is the thing, and he's going to go on and talk about the thing. He says, you yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism of John proclaimed. You know that Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things that he did in the land of the Jews and of Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he would become visible, not to all the people, but to the witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets, all the Old Testament, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him should receive forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel right there. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who were listening to the message, and all the circumcised believers, or the Jewish believers, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile nations also. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have been received, who has received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And they ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So this was the gospel going out to the nations, to the Gentile world. This was that gospel. This was that time. It didn't start that way, but this is what happened. And we got there by that third point, fourth point. It says he was proclaimed on in the nations. Then the next one says believed on in the world. And that was what happened right here. They were believed on in the world. And then the sixth one is he was taken up into glory. And when I'm saying these numbers, this is the last verse of 1 Timothy 3. That's that list. So with that, and I said that we were in chapter 4, I wanted to start there because chapter 4 of Timothy starts out like this. How long have I got? How many more minutes? Five? 5 minutes? Or are you just waving? 10 minutes. 5 and 5.
In the scriptures that we
is your take on the aspect of fast?
Well, there's probably two, and actually we're going to get into that here in a minute, but yeah, but that's a great question. And there's probably two aspects. I mean, one is obviously for health reason or for or weight loss, and another one could be for a spiritual reason,
well,
fasting before the Lord.
I assumed it was more of that than just, you know, weight loss in the scriptures. But when you brought that up, and then we talked about, you talked about feasting later, I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great question, though. But I think in the scriptures, when they're talking about fasting, it's you know, one that comes to mind is there was a demon and a guy, and the disciples prayed and nothing happened, and then the Lord came and he rebuked him, and the Lord's message to those guys was, this one doesn't leave, this demon won't leave without prayer and fasting. So there was something specific about the fasting. It wasn't just the speaking in faith, but about praying and preparing yourself. And I think fasting takes away from our physical or pleasures of the soul. And it gives more attention to a focus on, you know, what the Lord is asking us to do. But obviously there's, you know, health reasons and weight loss. So anyhow, 1 Timothy 4 says, with that in mind, with what I just read, right? It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. It says falling away from the faith, right? It's not falling away from faith. I mean, I have faith that the check I wrote to the church this morning is not going to bounce, right? It's not falling away from faith. It's not falling away from, the faith in his football team. It's, we still have faith in things. It's the faith. And the faith is those things that I just went through that Peter or Paul had talked about in the last part of chapter 16. He says in the last days, people will fall away from that. Why? Because it says, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience with a branding iron, who, one, forbid marriage, two, advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is to be received with gratitude. And we just got that with Peter, right? All that food, he was restricted prior to that by, I've never eaten anything unclean. And even prior to that, the priests were forbidden from marrying. And even later on after that, in the Catholic Church, priests and Pope aren't supposed to marry. And I know that they are sometimes now. But, you know, there was that thought that if you do these things, you're going to be holier. Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we're forgiven because of what he did there. We're forgiven by the blood he shed. When he went to the cross, he said to the Father, he says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And so he did what was required of him by the Father, and that was to go to the cross for our sins. Paul says in Galatians, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, including an angel, let that man be accursed. And that other gospel was, he says, you guys started in the Spirit. Why do you think your works are going to make you any more holy? And that's what these guys were coming and saying. You know, you would really be going on with the Lord a lot better if you just weren't married. Or if you didn't eat these foods, and I know Doug went into this whole thing about spam and stuff, and God bless him because, you know, he loves spam. But You know, and I've seen questionable foods that, you know, I mean, you know, when we're traveling in Thailand or what were they selling? Rats? We couldn't understand. What?
River rats.
Liver lats. We're going, what? Liver lats. And it was river rats. And we just, you know, I mean, but, you know, God made that poor little river rat. And, you know, somebody cooked it up and put it in a taco. And, you know, I'm still here. But, you know, and, you know, if there's some kind of dietary restriction, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But what he's saying here is it doesn't make you any better, any more holy to eat this thing. And people were going back and forth on this, and they were thinking that, well, if I do this, then maybe I don't need the blood so much. And they were falling away from the faith, that thing that we just read, how, what the Lord did, why he came here. And you know, if you believe in him and you have a relationship with him, you know how true that is. If it's just a teaching, it may not be real, and you feel like, I got to add stuff to it. You know, and that's what I did prior to my salvation. I added everything I could get, I was adding to it. And, you know, eventually, it was crazy. A couple weeks later, and I'll just say this, a couple weeks later, these two guys, I went to this friend's girlfriend invited us to this outreach that they were having. And so I went to it with my friend, and, you know, it was a Christian kind of thing. And two guys came up to me, and they started telling me about Jesus. And I said, look, if Jesus is really God, he can prove it to me himself. And they go, well, why don't you just say that? And so I prayed. This is my prayer, and I know everybody's is different. But ultimately, it is of the heart that we get real with God, and he gets real with us. And I prayed, I said, Jesus, if you're really real, prove it to me. And I had this experience standing there with these two guys, and who knows, I'm thinking back, are these the two guys that were on the porch? I don't know, who knows, but God knows. And I remember the very first time, I was 4 years old, it was before kindergarten, because we lived in this house and then we moved someplace else, that I stole some concrete out of this guy's garage and brought it over to my sandbox and mixed it with water because I saw that's what he was doing. But when I was sneaking over there, I was knowing I was doing something wrong, right? And I snuck back and stuff. I knew I did something wrong. 4 years old, right? So I prayed that prayer, and that came back to me. And after that came back to me, the next thing I did that offended my conscience came back to me. And then the next crime, and the next crime. And I was in and out of jail my whole life. So, you know, there was a lot of crimes there. All these things. I was on my knees bawling. Seriously. I was, nothing those guys did, nothing anybody did. I was on my knees bawling. And I felt like Jesus was standing there and he said, I was with you for all that and I forgive you. And never in my life did I ever feel right with God until that point in time in my life. Until he came to me and he forgave me. I don't need to not get married. I'm already married. I don't need to abstain from foods. I don't need to, and later on he talks about working out. Physical exercise. I don't need that to be more holy. I'm holy because of one thing, and that's because Jesus died for my sins, and he made me right with the Lord, and he has for each one of you that have accepted that. I must be running out of time.
Preach it, brother.
All right, she says preach it. I was thinking, you know, there's 14 verses in this chapter. It's going to be easy to get through them. But I'm going to stop pretty much right here. There's one more thing that these guys were coming and saying, and that was, it says, bodily exercise profits little. And it profits I don't know. There's Michelle, I know you're a runner. I know Lane's a runner. I know that there's other people out here that exercise, and it profits your body. It profits to just take a walk. You know, it's a good thing to walk. There's profit to that. There's profit to eating well, right? And I encourage you to do that. The rest of that verse says, it profits a little, but, and when it says but, it's in comparison, and it says, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise of this present life, which I enjoy this present life with God right now, through spiritual exercise, and also the life to come. And I know where I'm going, and I know where you guys are going. And he's saying in the rest of this, and I'm not going to go through the rest of it because I don't have time, but he's saying again, over and over, he says, exercise, exercise, exercise unto godliness. Public reading of the Bible, telling people about the Lord. He even says, pay close attention to the way you walk so others can look at your life. I know there's Christians out there that, you know, have a horrible witness, and we suffer for it. I wish those guys would just shut up. I wish they would not say they're Christians. I mean, they're a shame. They need to get their lives right, you know? So, you know, I'm going to end, and I want to pray. And if you want to take another step with the Lord, join me in prayer. And maybe you've never committed your life to the Lord, and I pray that you would do that. So let's bow our heads. And Heavenly Father, you are good, Lord. You are so good. You're good to me, and you're good to all of us. And I pray, Lord, right now that if there's somebody here that really doesn't have that relationship with you, that you would draw them just like you drew me, just like you drew each one of us to you in a real way, that they would have the boldness just to open their mouth and speak to you. And Lord, those that know you, I pray, Lord, that we would focus and exercise our life to make it godly and to be a good witness of you. And that people would look at our lives and they go, there's definitely a God. There's definitely somebody that loves him. And Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for this time here, Lord. Thank you for opening up our eyes and sharing us the word that you needed us to hear so we could walk through this earth that's passing away. We praise you, Lord, and we pray this in your name. Amen. There's this verse I meant to share, and it is David is being persecuted by Saul. And he says, there's one step between me and death. One step. And he lived on after that. I mean, you know, he had the kingdom was built. He had a child, Solomon. He you know, he went on and he lived many years and stuff. But he recognized that any minute he could pass away. We don't know how long we have. He recognized that the reason he was still alive is because the Lord was holding him right here, holding him alive. And, you know, we it's easy to put stuff off, but I encourage you not to put off what God is speaking to you right now in your heart. Whatever it is, be faithful to that. Amen? Let's worship the Lord. We're going to do that.